We are activating your unique self-discovery one show at a time. The Orchard of Wisdom Self-Discovery Podcast are at your fingertips, just waiting to inspire and invite you in discovering just how awesome you really are and how to navigate through life in joy, enrichment, personal abundance, in mind, body, spirit, heart, and soul. All the people we bring you are here to serve you on your journey of life. Do enjoy our next show. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition for the Love of Music right here on selfdiscoverymedia.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and my wonderful musical guest today is Kate Boychuk. She's actually on the road in the midst of parties right now. It is the season, and we've managed to capture her to share her story and her new music before she goes to another event. She's a singer-songwriter. She hit the stage for the first time at the tender age of 5 at her local county fair. Singing opportunities were few and far between in Kate's tiny hometown of Logan, Western Virginia, nestled deep in the apple chain coal fields. Kate sang at dozens of local charity events, directed a church choir, and eventually attracted the attention of West Virginia native and legendary Gold Old Opry Bradley Barn. So audio's engineer, Vic Garbany. Yeah, that was a long one sentence there. When Vic helped her and her guidance for her late musical director and drummer, Scotty Hawkins, Reba McEntire, Kix Brooks, Boychuk pursued her dream in Nashville and has appeared with many country hit makers, Tyler Farr, Eric Parsley, Trick Pony, and many others. So she's got this wonderful new song called Hell or High Water, and it most certainly gets you going, absolutely. This is her new album. We're going to be talking about that today, but also what music really means to her. Because my theory is that when somebody's in the music, you were born that way. This is the expression of your soul and of your heart. And you couldn't do anything else, not authentically, because the music was within you. Is that right, Kate? Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. You are 100% accurate. Yes, it is part of who you are, for sure.
You know, everybody's always searching for, you know, kind of who they are and what their purpose is in life. And I always think that, you know, artists, whether they be an actor, a writer, or a musician, they have it easier. It may be harder to make a living out of it and to get kind of the gigs and the recognition and all of that. But it's so driven by the heart and the passion for it that is a gift in itself, isn't it?
It is. It is truly. You know, one of the reasons that I think we can pursue this so hard and for so long, you know, you hear of these people that have been in country music, it generally is Nashville is the place to go. And you hear of these stories where they've spent 10 and 11, sometimes 15 years pursuing this dream and, you know, really hitting the ground running for all of those years and not having a job that would provide them with a very comfortable lifestyle in the meantime while they are pursuing this dream. And I think a lot of people scratch their heads and they're like, well, why the heck would you keep going, you know, after that long? Because it really doesn't feel like we're working. I mean, physically, yes, but mentally, no, if that makes sense.
You know? Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's always the anxiety of the next gig and where can I play next? But it's once you get up on that stage, it's not an ego thing. It's the sharing of the passion, right?
Absolutely. It's getting to be who we are authentically through a process that we love.
Mm-hmm. My mother was a stage actress, and she would say that no performance was ever the same because it was how the audience's energy was would dictate how the performance was going to be. Now you come on and you kind of set the stage and you get people going, but if they're not responsive, they're not feeding you so you can feed them. So very much when you are performing for people, it's their performance back that kind of ignites you.
Yes, absolutely. So you definitely bring a level, or I definitely bring a certain level of energy to each performance just because of my love and passion that I have for my music and, you know, the new opportunity to see new faces and meet new people and, you know, all of that. But it definitely, the crowd's energy will affect how everything flows. You know, if they're very energetic and and very much involved, then it can raise it to a peak that maybe you couldn't achieve at your own energy level.
Right.
So, and if they're not as interactive, then and you are left to, hold all of that yourself, it can, it can weigh up the or weigh down, I guess, the potential of the energy for sure.
Those that go into music for fame and fortune do not have the tenacity or the resilience to stay the course, right? That you've really kind of got to be kind of thick-skinned. You have to have an awful lot of resilience, a lot of belief in yourself, and you're in it for the long haul. Because if you get famous
Oh,
along the
yeah.
way, great, but it's not about that, is it?
No, it's not. I think in my 20s, it was more about, I loved doing this, but I was also drawn to the shiny, fancy, let's be famous, And then after my divorce and I had two children and I grew up and found who I was as a human being, I decided, would that be wonderful, that lifestyle? To a certain extent, yes. I do not have aspirations to achieve a level of fame that, like, say, Taylor Swift has or anything
Right.
like that. That's not appealing. That's not appealing to me. But it would be nice to live very comfortably,
Oh, yes.
and not pay check. But so, but at the same time, I'm getting to do what I love every day. So I think as long as you stay grateful for that, and that's what you're, that's why you're doing this. That has led me into more opportunity than I had ever in my 20s chasing the fame side of things would have ever gotten me. So I just stay true now that I'm older to the fact that this is, I get to do what I love. And if an opportunity comes along the way, that's wonderful if it's in alignment with who I am.
Yeah.
That would be.
Everybody knows me, who knows me knows that, interviewing musicians, performers is very close to my heart. And, the people, they're working musicians. This is, not about the peak and then disappearing. They're working musicians. This is, what they do and that longevity of their 20, 30 years in the business. In fact, this week, we actually have a guy from the Planters and a guy from the Drifters. Now, these guys are in their
Oh,
80s
wonderful.
and they actually are singing with someone from the Temptations. He couldn't be on the interview. But these two were talking about their experiences through their life and how their songs, 50, 60 years later, still have such relevance, not just with, their age group, but with everyone. They've stood the test of time. They've become little anthems. And if you can get a song that is something that everybody wants you to sing over and over again, or that this is the song that lasts 10 years, 20 years, this is what you really want in life, isn't it? That impact of that song that really means something to people.
That's what it's all about, is the connection. And I have a song. So I write everything right now, either based off of feeling of like an emotion that I carry with me a lot, like Hell or High Water is my rock star, piece of my heart. And then my other songs, mostly my ballads, they're all true stories. So, and one song, my next song that I'm releasing is a chronological order of events that happened in my life put to music. So, it's very true to who I am. And I actually, speaking of the Drifters and the Platters and Temptations, I had the opportunity to work with Joe Coleman recently.
That's the one I've just interviewed, Joe
Oh,
Coleman and Joe
okay.
Blunt. So
Yeah.
Oh, they're a delight. You will love listening to their show. They're an absolute delight.
I can't. Well, I got to have voice lessons, like voice coaching and storytelling, really coaching from Joe Coleman. And let me tell you something, that was like someone handing me a bar of gold.
Yes.
I mean, truly. And not only is he just an incredible performer all the way around, and his voice, it all speaks for itself, but he's such a humble and kind human being.
And
And
giving and sharing. Yeah.
so,
Yeah.
so much so. And everything he was telling me came from such a good natured place. So, I was fortunate into have that lesson with him about a week before I went into the studio, and I took all of his advice and information into the studio with me. And he may have not put out a song, since so many years ago, but he's very much present in the song that I'm getting ready to release because teachings. And I think that's a beautiful, that's just a really cool full circle thing.
And to from you both to be on the same week,
I
there's that
know.
wonderful synergy, right? I love that. And yes, he was an absolute delight, and Joe Blunt as well. But Joe definitely Coleman, he is the music, and this is really kind of what you want to be. You want people to identify with your music because they know that is a part of you. Whatever the story is in the song is the story, but the storyteller—that's what they're attaching to—is the storyteller.
Absolutely. That's our that should be I think it should be the purpose of most singers, because we've been given a platform and an opportunity to help people heal. Music heals the soul. So, and for me, it's very much that case in my writing as well, not just when I perform my music. So if I can take something that maybe felt sad for me, like I went through a divorce, if I can write about my time and how I became to heal and do better and be a better human being through all of that, and someone else hears that that's going through the same thing, that right there, that is
Yes.
what I think that it's all about.
Is supporting one another. When we share, a lot of the times it was, don't share your pain. I'm from England. Don't share your dirty linen out in public, And it's like by being, honest and open about the struggles, about the pain, we learn to not only have empathy and compassion, but we begin to recognize other people that are going through struggles. And instead of judgment, we do step more into understanding and compassion, and maybe even reaching out. Is there anything I can do? Because we are a very judgmental, race. And who are we to judge? Because there isn't any single one of us that doesn't go through something, and
No
we
one
prefer to
escapes this
relate.
life. No one escapes this life without pain and sadness, and I feel that as a human race, it's very important that we evolve in the ways and the gifts that we've been given with each other. So for
Yes.
me, music. So I like to use that to do my part, I guess,
Yeah.
in what ways I can.
Now, I'm going to be absolutely open. Some of the country music is just not my cup of tea at all. It's just I'm not in that genre. But when you get kind of country rock, like I feel, Hell on High Water is, kind of very Reba McEntire-ish. That's what I
Thank
got the feeling from that, because I can listen to Reba. She's country, but she's
you.
always kind of got that grit and that rhythm and that beat, and I can really get into that. But there's some of that I just, I can't, unless it goes bluesy or bluegrassy,
I love, yes.
then that's different. I had a wonderful guitarist, Justin Johnson, who is Americana blues, and again, he is the instrument. He and the guitar are one, and I love that authenticity. I love it when it's the soul and heart's connection that they're sharing, because that's really when the music speaks to you.
I agree 100%. And I think it's a process of making sure your whole team is on that same vibe with you, because my producer, when I went in, I was very fortunate to have the experience of him being very much on the same page with me. And I said, I want to make sure that everything's coming across, not with the idea of, is the radio going to pick this up? Again, like your career, if that would happen, that's wonderful. But I want to have the more of the mindset as, what melody do I feel in internalizes the feeling I had when I wrote this song? So the lyrics very much need to be produced. The melody needs to be produced very much to coincide with how you felt when you wrote the lyrics, or it could throw the vibe of the whole thing off. So, when I went in with him just for like Hell or High Water, I said, this is very much some of the stuff in Southern West Virginia that gets thrown around, like, don't let that guy, not that I necessarily carry these beliefs myself, but there is a certain vibe that goes around here of, don't let that girl take your man, or that kind of stuff. So I wanted to take a lot of those, that feeling that is so heavy here in this area, and put it to my, who I am as a human being, and also rock out, because I have very much of an 80s influence and things like that. So I wanted to make sure that was portrayed correctly in my country roots, I guess.
And I remember Taylor Swift when she was started off country, then she went over to kind of pop, and the criticism And it's like, there never should be the criticism because somebody wishes to spread their wings,
No, you should always
and
follow your heart. Yeah, always. I think you should always follow your heart. And my music now doesn't sound like what I originally started with, but that's not who I am anymore. I'm not 20 years old anymore.
Exactly. It
I
evolves
have
along
different
with your experience
interests,
of life. Yeah, exactly. And the
exactly.
yeah, and it, and then it doesn't mean you can't be youthful about, your songs, but obviously you're presenting it in a different way. I'm a huge fan of music competitions, like the Voice America's Got Talent, because it's wonderful to see people who have got a gift who don't really know they have it, and just with a little tweaking and bringing it out of them, suddenly they discover themselves. The ones that are kind of, oh, one or two great numbers and they can't sustain it, they can't go to the next level. And then the others that get more and more in belief of who they are and open up the gates to the music inside of them, and they grow week by week by week by week. And
Absolutely.
that is kind of really what a musician's career is, isn't it? Is with each gig, with each song, with each year, with each experience, you grow.
Oh yes, absolutely. I know that I have. I mean, my writing style, everything has totally shifted, and grown with me. So who I am as a human being outside of music has 100% influenced how I also am in music.
Who
So, I think that
is
helps a lot.
your the person? I mean, as I said, I love Reba, and I kind of felt a bit of Reba-ish in the song there. But who is there anybody that you kind of look at and either want to emulate or has been a stimulation to you in your music?
Influence wise, I love the sound of Stevie Nicks' voice and how she manipulates the sound. So I grew up, really loving that sound. But if I had to pick one person, I guess that I would say the energy of what they have brought to the music, to music in general, influenced me the most, it would probably be Elvis. I grew up listening to Elvis a lot. I do sing a lot of blues. I love the blues and bringing that into, later on, you guys will get to see that I have brought blues into some of my country music.
Wonderful.
But definitely, I grew up singing in church, and a lot of that was around Elvis Presley's gospel album and things like that. So, and all the Christmas songs were all Elvis at my house. We were big Elvis fans. So, if I had to pinpoint one person, it would definitely be him.
Yeah, when I was talking with Joe Coleman, I was saying when you've got that kind of bluesy music, it elongates you. You just feel everything stretch out. It's just that type music completely. And I don't
It
know, you've obviously seen the new Elvis movie.
does. Yes,
And
a couple times.
that scene of the influence when he's kind of introduced to black music and then the church music and how that becomes the core of his rhythm. You
Yeah,
know, he
it does.
was,
You experience that when you let it, when you let music flow through you and you just become a vessel for whatever needs to come out, you do feel that stretching motion. There's times on stage where I'm not even aware until I look back at video and my eyes are closed and my arms are out and I'm just, in that moment, fully present in that moment. And that's the most beautiful thing about the whole, being on stage and all that stuff, that connection. And if you're having that type of energy, someone in the audience may also be having that energy, and that's beautiful.
Right, like Joe was mentioning a couple of times, in his career, where he literally at the end of a song was like vibrating. He had risen to such a high elevation, of euphoria, of connection to source, and all of the energy in the room and everything running through him, and like the exaltation of it. And you can't manufacture that. It
No.
is kind of an alignment of an experience of all of those energies coming together, but there's certainly moments that you'll never forget.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, 100%.
So, you've got two children. How old are they?
So I have a teen. She's almost a teenager, and then a 5-year-old.
Wow, some big gaps there.
There are, yes. I had my oldest daughter young, and I I'm so grateful for the experience of that. It will make you grow up super fast. But I do think that people need to, not do that young.
Yes.
And then when I was in my late 20s, I had my youngest daughter. So there's about an 8 year difference there. But it's perfect for us. It works for us. We're the three musketeers, that's what we call ourselves. I did set my girls down when I went into my career and told them what all this would entail. And, my 5-year-old had a much different response. She was very much, "Oh my gosh, she's gonna sing, mom's gonna sing." And but my oldest daughter, my 13-year-old, she wanted to know, like, how long will you be gone when you're going on trips, mom? How are we going to do this? So I'm very fortunate that I have a family. My mother doesn't work, so she is able to travel with my children and me if I'm gone for long periods of time, and we work out schooling around everything. So I'm very blessed in that area, and it works
Yeah,
out
because
perfect for us.
because you do see this, when you look at biopics, of musicians and they're on the road, it is hard on the family. And
Oh, yeah.
there are many actors that say, if both spouses are actors, they won't both take a gig at the same time. And
Right.
the whole family goes so that there is always that connection, so they're not away from each other for any length of time. And if you can take your girls on the road, I mean, not only is it giving them a life experience, but they're watching how the audience is responding to you. They're kind of getting that sense of pride and that sense of accomplishment, whether they wish to go into music or whatever they wish to go into. They learn that if I do it with the same passion and the same conviction, with the same responsibility, resilience, focus, and diligence,
Right.
whatever stage, quote, quote, I'm on in life, I can also have the same kind of experience back. So it's a wonderful education for them as well. But
It has
I,
definitely.
yeah, I bet there are other times though, like, Mom, can we just go home?
There are, and she's 13, so of
Yeah,
course she
exactly.
sometimes just doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't force them to, what I mean? I just let them know this is how long we'll be gone this time, and we work it around things like that. But we're very mindful. I'm
Yeah.
very, very mindful, even when I'm on the road, to make sure, for instance, this North, I just did a North Dakota tour and or a Midwest tour, and my the most time I had ever been away from the girls, I was 3 weeks in North Dakota. And, I was very mindful to make sure throughout the day I'm checking in. We're FaceTiming every day. They couldn't go because of school. Make sure, and in the evenings I'm present for their homework time. I'm present for this, present without being present.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think as long as that stays at the focus of a traveling or touring musician, if any are tuned into this podcast, and you have children, it is possible to do. You just have to make sure that they know that they are still the center of your focus and center of your attention, even when you're away from them.
Right. I know a lot of people will say, "Well, you've got to choose between one and the other." No, you don't. It's
No.
just a question of finding the balance, right?
Yes.
And when that balance is there, that support is there, and they get behind you. And then there'll be moments in your life where you're going to have to take a pause and get behind them. And that's what family is about.
Absolutely. It's a give and take. It's a balance. And it can be a beautiful thing. I mean, it can be such a beautiful journey. And for me, that's exactly how it's, turning out because of the balance. So I think as long as you keep everything in alignment and your focus is always on the good and becoming the solution and not the problem, I think that it will always find a way to work out beautifully all the way around.
Do you think any one of your girls will go into music?
I think maybe my youngest May. She really has taken a liking to it. My oldest daughter wants to become an author, and she has a real knack for writing short stories. So we very much help her and support her in whatever she wants to do. There's not anything ever said like, just because I'm in music, I don't ever want them to feel that that's
Right,
a pathway.
exactly. Yeah.
That's never pushed. But my youngest does seem to. She's constantly singing in the car and all of this stuff. She went to school the other day and she was like, "Mom, I told everybody you were a famous singer and I'm singing them your songs." And I said, "You sang them my songs?"
Hell on high water.
Yeah.
At five.
Well, thank goodness she came out with a different one. It wasn't that one. She wasn't at school out water, but it's very sweet, and that's such a that's so cool as a mom to, you know, to get to see that. And you know, my girls are my whole world, so that was just really something special
You
for
know,
me.
for your oldest daughter, I have another genre called an author's kiss, where I interview authors, all types of authors and publishers and people who will give advice on how to write and all of that. So she's interested in that. I've got some great people on there.
Oh, she, yes, she would love to check that out. I'll definitely.
And this is actually kind of back in the day, people would literally have to go from town to town, you know, be pitching to get on the radio, you know, and there was a whole other ball game of just getting known. And of course, today, you know, you've got social media, there's podcasting, there's just so, but in a lot of ways, you know, you are doing your own marketing, right? Because
Yes.
you know, you are doing this, but it's a but I think also in some benefits, in somebody trying to represent you and misrepresenting because they're sending glitz and glam instead of heart and soul, you know, it may take more time out and it may be a bit more of a struggle, but I think actually, as far as an audience is concerned, they rather have this because there is that permission to get to know you. And when they get to know you and they like you, then I want to know what your music is. If they haven't heard the
Yes.
music first, or if they've heard the music, they want to know, you know, how did the music come out of you? You know, what's your story behind the
What's
music?
your
So it's building a more intimate audience, isn't it?
Oh yes, absolutely. And it should be. You know, thank goodness, you know, that we have evolved to be able to have access to all this technology and ways to let people know who we are. You know, it's so much easier than in the 90s when you had to actually travel, you know, down to Nashville. Every, you know, people had to move and relocate just to make connections and, you know, make friends and things like that. And now, you know, everything's so digital. I know a lot of people have mixed feelings about that, and I guess in some ways I do too, but I'm very thankful for that side of things because,
Yeah,
you know,
it's
I,
again
the
it
purpose,
offers another arena.
absolutely. And the, you know, the purpose of like my music, like we've spoken about, is the authenticity. So if when people can hear, you know, the background of what I'm trying to say, you know, this song's about this, and this is what happened to me, and you know, this is what my healing process through this, and this is why I decided to bring this to you. You know, that's beautiful that we can share that in the, you know, instant.
Well, you know, it's interesting because of COVID and shutdown, I've interviewed several musicians that had to do Zooms with other musicians to create their albums.
Yes.
All right, and a couple of them put out new albums purely that way, each person doing their own piece and then putting it together. And you know, one of them, you know, John Amalto, he's the ballad drummer. And you know, he just put out an amazing album and just got everyone together, but they did it in that format. And it's like when the drive is there, you know, another one is like, I can't, all my stage things were canceled. And so she decided to be current every Friday, she would give a performance on YouTube. So, you know, there's always
Yeah.
so many ways that you can do things to be engaged if you can't be everywhere because one can't, right?
Absolutely. We did that through the COVID. It didn't they didn't close down a whole lot in this area. But we did, there were several shows that I did make appearances online and things like that just to keep relevance and, you know, keep putting my music out and, you know, it happens. But if you want it bad enough, you'll find a way to make it work.
Right. We did COVID and the lockdown and the transition that we're all going through at the present moment as a human race have any impact on your writing?
Yes, so I actually have a couple songs that were written around that time, and I became very vulnerable with my writing in that time. You know, you have a little more quiet time and you're able to really sit with yourself and sit with your feelings and all of your experiences. So having that time alone, I do regular meditation, so it was like just a big long meditation, you know, in some ways. So having that time to yourself really lets you connect with your writing style. So the songs that I am putting and going to be putting out are very raw.
Good.
They're very raw
I love
compared to
that.
maybe what they, and maybe they wouldn't have been that raw. Maybe I wouldn't have felt comfortable being so open. But I feel like that space that we, that pause we all had to take really makes you reconnect with yourself and with your family and how you're living your life. And you saw, unfortunately, we saw so many tragic things come of that time. So you really, I guess you want to refocus and make sure that you are living your life the way you want to live it and to its fullest potential. And mine is all tied to music. So I wanted to make sure my music was doing that for people. And now it will be.
Music is the poetry of our times. Music transcends language, it transcends race, politics, religion, everything. It is the expression of our inner feelings. Where some people cannot express it in words, the song will express it for them. And that really is the gift and also the responsibility of music, right?
Yes, absolutely. And the responsibility of the artist just putting it into the world. You have to make sure that when you are doing, when you're reflecting on why you wrote this, what it's supposed to mean, the purpose, the intention behind it, you have to realize that, music above all else is the connection of the soul that you share with every human being. Literally, we're vibrational beings,
Yes,
and
we
music
are, most
vibrates.
certainly.
So you need to very much make sure that that is in your mind when you're putting out. It doesn't need to just be, is this gonna play on the radio? There needs to be substance. Make sure you're offering substance to the world.
And kind of, I'm always saying, we can address the problem, but we've also got to look at the solution. Everything wrong in the on this world is human caused, but we also have all the solutions we need in order to rectify it, and it is a matter of choice. And I think if, when music also becomes that message, that inspiration that begets invitation, where it
Yes.
invites people to step up, where it invites people to take a good hard look at themselves. We love pointing fingers and going, their fault, their fault, their fault. And there's three pointing back at us and saying, well, what are we doing about it? And we don't need
Absolutely.
any more pitchforks. We don't need any more guns. We don't need any more hate rhetoric. Love actually is the vibration that is the creation of life. And so we really need to step more into that. And this is where an artist really has the most incredible platform to do that.
Oh, I am 100% on the same page with you. Absolutely. I feel that love is healing in more than one ways, all the way across the board. And if you can just do everything in your life through the vibration of love, that changes everything.
It does.
I mean, it
Even when
changes
you're
everything.
singing about the pain,
Absolutely.
you're singing from a place of love that, I went through that pain, I let go of that pain, I am no longer that pain, right? So you can address that, but it doesn't mean you're talking from a painful place. You're talking how you recovered from it.
I have a particular song I'll be releasing that's written around my divorce of 11 years and the father of my children, and that was the most painful thing I had experienced in my life up to that point. But it wasn't, I wasn't writing from, I don't hate him. I don't want anything bad to happened to him. Do I think he could have gotten out of the marriage in a more kind way? Absolutely. But I also am not him. I don't know what circulates through his mind, and there should be no judgment. I'm not in his shoes. So I think the writing process of that song for me was healing through that and understanding that, it's not my place to judge that. He's a human being. This is his journey. It's just my responsibility to decide whether or not I want to stay in a situation that's providing happiness or not, and then further and make action to get out of that. So that was the writing process around that entire song. And the whole thing was driven by the force of love. I love myself and my girls enough to decide we didn't want to be in that situation anymore. So I used the healing from that and the love from that to write through that process. And that's what the intention of that whole song is. So I think, as artists, that's the platform we get to do. That's where I get to make that difference. And,
And
I
that's
hope.
beautiful because, whether the marriage works or not, or whatever, people do to each other, right? It's we have to understand it takes two. So, if we're
Absolutely.
responding to somebody's angst or whatever, it's I had one of those marriages. He was a browbeater, but I kind of proverbially gave him the boots to kick me with. So we're both responsible. And you just said some very key words. I loved myself and my children enough to make sure that we didn't go down to the misery, right? We had
Right.
to stay in the love vibration, and that you wish him well on his journey in seeking out love, but it cannot be found in this situation.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that that happens in a lot of writing styles.
Yes. Yeah. Music, as I said, is something very close to my heart. It's actually scientifically proven that certain frequencies and beats kind of realign our body,
They
realign our
do.
psyche. And so it can be
Yes.
incredibly healing, whether it's the music, whether it's the words, but it is that expression of music that, speaks when we sometimes can't find the words, expresses when we don't know how to express ourselves, releases us from what me may be going through, or picks us up and just gives us a party, right? Which is hell and high water is
Absolutely.
very
It,
much
that's so true. That's so
that.
true. I listen every night. I can't sleep with the TV on. So, but I don't like to sleep in quiet. So I actually listen to a Spotify playlist that's based off Hertz. I don't know if you've ever heard of Hertz.
No,
But
but I heard.
they're vibrational frequencies that align with different emotional parts of your body.
Right. Yeah. Because actually, 580 is the love hurts, the starting
Yes.
of the love hurts. Right. So that which is actually a frequency. Yeah.
Right. They have them all the way. I mean, they have them from worry to anxiety to fear to love to, I mean, it's all across the board. So when, and I don't know if there's other people that do this process, but when I begin to write a song, I go to the Hertz vibration of the feeling and emotion that I have of the lyric. And that's what sets the entire melody.
Right.
Of where I base lyrically, how I want to sing this song, how high pitched. It's all based around that for me personally, because I feel like if that's going to be your intention, if my intention is going to be a healing through anxiety through a song, then the lyrics and the melody need to be based around the vibration of the healing of anxiety.
Yeah, the solution, not the problem.
Right.
Yeah,
Because
right.
it's the solution and not the problem.
Exactly. Because what it is that people identify with the pain or the anxiety or the anguish, but they don't want to get stuck there where they go, okay, you've been through it too. What did you do? And then when the song takes you into a higher frequency, basically, the lyrics are saying, change your perspective. Look at it this way, right? Rise up. Instead of lowering down, that is the solution. But that's how the song can lay that platform, and you can lead people, out of their own darkness.
Oh yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that you have to be, you have to, it's our responsibility again to be very careful in how we do that. You never want to, just like these songs, I never want it to come across that I'm pointing fingers or trying to make someone feel bad or make my ex feel bad. That's not it. It's not one person's fault.
No, it takes two
So you
to
just,
tango. It does, and it just means
yes.
like we're no longer compatible in this dance, right?
Exactly.
We're
I would
treading
say,
on each other's toes, and we've got sore feet.
yes, exactly. I heard Tony Robbins say once, it comes down to, are you suitable for this job? These are
Yeah.
my requirements for a partner. And are you a good match to this? And if they no longer are, then there needs to be a releasing of that.
Yeah, because
So,
we all grow at different times and different levels. And if somebody has ascended to a higher level, and the other person isn't there yet, sometimes you can wait and inspire them. But if they're not willing to take that journey, they prefer to stay where they are. For your own soul, heart, and spirits and purpose benefit, you do have to sever those ties. You can't
yes.
walk the journey for them. That is their free will. And if they're unwilling to at that time, then you can just wish them love on their way, but your journey's taking you on a different path.
That's the most beautiful thing. You wish them love. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what my music is doing for me. I'm wishing, love to my audience that may be experiencing this, and I'm wishing love to the people that brought these stories in my life to a reality. So that's beautiful. Wish them love.
Yes.
Yep.
And that goes when you're on social media and you see something you don't like. Don't engage in the hate. Just wish
No.
them well. Wish them well. And if we keep sending loving vibrations to people that are in the lower consciousness, eventually it penetrates and their consciousness starts to awaken, right? So it is that love vibration. And keep playing that love song. It may drive them crazy, but
Yes.
eventually it'll get through.
You will. It will pull you up. It will. I always tell my mom, you have to level up. Level up your vibration.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. So, obviously you've got the ballads in you and you've got the upbeat in you. In your household, what do you listen to? Are you more in the upbeat type music, or what's as a family goes on?
Well, we like to listen to a lot of oldies, I call them. I call them goldies. My girls call them oldies. So, we listen to a lot of Etta James. There's a lot of stuff like that that plays. My daughter, I let my kids control the radio most of the time. So a lot of songs are repetitive. My youngest daughter, Sadie, is obsessed with the song Sadie's Got Her New Dress On. It's a bluegrass song by Doyle Lawson. So I literally listen to that about 10 times a day.
Right.
Sadie's got a new dress on, Lord, Lord. But,
Are you a fan
that's
of
that dictates what we play.
right? Yeah, and it's good, let them discover, right? Because then you can have the conversation around the music. And I love the Billie Holidays and Andra Day, who played Billie
I love
Holiday.
Billie
Oh my
Holiday.
God. I mean, that was a guttural show, but she did it so well. And Jennifer Hudson in Aretha McIntyre's and
She did wonderful, so lovely.
But you look at the lives that these women had, and it was really kind of quite cruel and really, really heavy, but they brought us some music that will transcend for the rest of time. That is the
For always.
gut, is the gut, of music. So yeah, I think that listening to the old classics is kind of building the foundation, isn't it? If you understand what the foundation is, then you can springboard into something of your own. But that foundation is really important.
The foundation is the it's your ground. That's where you should be grounded, and where you should find your stability. You may venture off, but it will keep you stabilized if you always pull from that. I have found that's what really helps me, and with that's really with everything in my life, honestly.
Well, as I said, when I listened to Hell on High Water, I heard a little Reba, but also a little Dolly. I kind of feel you've
Love
got to,
Dolly.
you, right. I mean, she's such a spirited woman, right? And it's her spirit is so contagious, that she's got chutzpah, and I think Reba does too. And I kind of feel that with you as well. You've kind of got that chutzpah where when to put
So
out the
much.
serious, but at the same time, know to have some fun and even make a little fun, out of life, which is important.
I think that that's so important, and I love Dolly. I think she's got a beautiful soul, and she's always been who she is, and that's what I aspire to, just always be who I am. So I guess in that way I'm relatable to her, and I always just want to put out the different parts of me, and sometimes I am super excited. In Hell or High Water, I was pretending to be Bon Jovi. I really was. I even asked if I could go like in the mic. So there's so many different things that I experience emotionally and in my life, and I just want all of that to come across as clear as possible. So if I'm in my rock star mood, then I want you guys to feel that in that Hell or High Water song. I want you to feel your inner Bon Jovi, just like I did mine.
Another group I love, but which they're a harmonic group, is the Pentatonix. And
Oh,
They are just sensational, and again, they are the musical instruments, literally. You know, whether they're singing or background, but they've played with Dolly, they've played with this, and they transcend all genres. You know, is there a genre that you would like to step into that may be completely out of the country rock or the country ballad?
I would eventually like to go more into your blues, like very specific blues, Big Mama Thornton, and I really like a lot of those sounds. So, and I incorporate that at times, in my own way to still flow with my show, but definitely that would be a genre I would love to explore more.
As I said, when I feel you hear the blues, when somebody's singing the blues, you can literally feel the gut. You can feel it there, and like everything of your body just has to stretch out, and it's so guttural. You
It
know,
is.
and it's just, oh, talk about foundation. It's the
Absolutely.
roots. It's the
Absolutely.
roots. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you have the performers that are singing from the throat up, and they may be good singers, and bubbity bubbity bubby, but the singers that sing from the heart, they're not singing, they're singing. And when you're
Love
singing,
that.
that's when you know that this person is the music, and you feel it, and you resonate with it, and that vibe is being shared, whether it's a ballad or whether it's an upbeat song. And that's, let's face it, it doesn't matter where we are in the world or what the religion or what the culture is or anything, music is a driving force.
Yes, 100%.
And that's never going to go away.
No. And what a beautiful thing. What a
Yes.
beautiful thing that is, that we have such a, such a driving force that can connect on so many different levels in so many different ways and so out of the box. You go from rap to blues to country, you're not confined. There's no restrictions. And that's beautiful.
Again, when you look at America's Got Talent or ADT, or you look at The Voice, and you look at how many young people, so young, with voices that are
Oh
so
yeah.
mature, it's like they're channeling.
Oh yeah.
But not only that, the way they compose themselves, the way they present themselves, it's just absolutely phenomenal. We call these the Indigo Kids, because they're here to give us a message. They're here to put us back on the right track. You never know, maybe your little one might be one of those.
My little Sadie, she probably is. She's got some. She's got some beautiful, she's a beautiful soul. She truly is. She lights up the room. She really does.
So you've obviously got artisans with your other daughter wanting to be an author, and my brother is a professional author, and that's also what he taught as well. And
So cool.
that is it's a different art altogether, but it's more of an insular art. You're going into a different world that you're presenting out, rather than being, the outside presenter. So you kind of got a yin yang there with two kids.
Absolutely. I get the best of both.
Which
I
is
get to
always exciting.
experience the best of both for sure.
You are lucky that despite maybe gaps or divorce or anything else, that you found your calling early in life, and that still at a very young age, that you are being able to sustain yourself, but also really build yourself up at this young age. Because there's there's some people that get into it very young and then may peter out. And of course, you've got your Taylor Swifts and a few others that are the
Right.
unusuals on the peak, even Adele and etc. But there's a lot of people where life takes over, and it's I can't follow the music anymore. Or there are some people that come to it later in life, and
Yeah.
then their voice is really heard. So it's wonderful that you're able to do this, at your age, with your children by your side, following your heart and soul, really listening to your story and what you want to share, because that in itself is a gift to you that you're then sharing with others.
It definitely feels like a gift. And I would just say to anyone that has to take any time off, you can still go for it. I took 7 years off. There's no limit to sharing what you love and sharing your passion. There's no limitations on that. Maybe there's a man-made limitation to being able to get a record deal. Who cares?
Yeah,
You
well, I
know,
mean, you know,
there's no
nowadays you
limit.
can create your own record deal, you know.
Exactly. I mean, exactly. But there's no limitation on who is able to put out their music.
Exactly.
So if that's your calling or writing or whatever it is, then go for it. It doesn't matter your age. You know, and yes, I'm very fortunate that I'm able to still have the energy and everything to pursue this at the level that I want to, and to have my girls and my family by my side. I don't even have words for what that means to me.
Yeah.
You know, I just it makes me want to, you know, like a crying emotion comes over me, but in the most happy way.
Yes, exactly. Gratitude, right? Pure gratitude.
Gratitude,
But
full
you know,
gratitude.
those 7 years that you had off, you know, people think, you know, like a lot of people who stayed at home raising their children. Well, I'm just a mom. Well, let's look at all the skills. You know, head cook
Yeah,
and bottle
just a
washer,
mom. Yeah,
chauffeur, nurse, you
just a
know.
mom is a lot.
Oh my God, you know, you, all of the fingers are accounted for with a skill. And what you do, whatever you are
Absolutely.
doing in those 7 years or any years that you take off, all the experience and the skills you learned in that time is just something you reapply into your passion.
Absolutely. That is so true. I think that being a mom is such a beautiful journey in itself and a beautiful learning experience. And if you take all of that and appreciate all of that, and if you want to take that and transform that into something else along the way, I mean, that just increases the
Yes.
ability all the way around. So
Yes.
I that's the way I look at it. You know, I love being a mom. I love that I can sing and still be a mom, and the kind of mom I want to be. You know, it hasn't caused a hindrance in that area at all. So yeah, there's definitely ways to still be the mom you want to be and branch out for sure.
Yes, if I wanted to get my children's attention because they weren't listening to me, I started singing opera and they would do anything to shut me up.
I love it.
So
Well, my oldest daughter,
no, mom, no.
that's too funny. My oldest daughter doesn't like country music.
Well, you know, and the country music is so broad. You know, when you look at Blake Shelton, he's like a very heavy, particular style. You know,
Yes.
of it. And you know, right now there's a lot going on about The Voice where the four voices just went home that shouldn't have gone home because they were sensational voices. But the popularity from country music people, you know, will support their own. And sometimes that's sad because yes, they had some good singers there, but not at the same caliber. Not at the same caliber as the others. And it's like, it's great to support a genre that you like, but sometimes it's also great to support the person that clearly, you know, is above everyone else. And, you know, that's where sometimes competitions can kind of go a little skew. Who knows who's going to be doing it next year? I don't know who's going to be replacing him because this is his last one. But it's, I do love the talent shows and watching people come into themselves. You know, grow
Yes.
into themselves, and then you hear some of them, and I think, why the hell are you not out there? You know, because their voices are just so incredible, and really, a great deal of it is sometimes is a lack of self-esteem, you know, belief in themselves, and also lack of opportunity. But really, you've got to create the opportunity, don't you?
You do. You do. And you know, sometimes people don't want that level. You
Well,
know, not
yeah,
every,
your
you
life
know, not
isn't going
every
to quite your own. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, you know, not everyone wants, you know, I know a very, very talented musician and singer down in Nashville that does not pursue this as a to be on the radio or to be on TV or to put out his own album. He just enjoys singing, and he does that 6 nights a week, and he doesn't want to write. He just wants to sing other people's songs,
Yeah.
and that's totally fine. He is doing what he loves,
Yes.
people enjoy hearing him, so he's bringing happiness to people along the way.
Yeah, there's not a one size
So
fit all. You don't have to be,
that's
you know, a Grammy winner to be important. You don't need to be selling a million albums, although maybe nice, but then there's always a price to pay for that. You know,
oh, yeah.
once you hit that scale of that kind of popularity, is your life your own, right? And that's the important thing. So yeah. So all right, what's next for you?
So next, I have, I'm getting ready to pull out, and we are headed to Beckley, West Virginia for a private event. And then next weekend, I will be in Charleston, West Virginia at the Christmas parade and an after party. Then I head directly after that to Hershey, PA for a series of events for the weekend, and that will close out my 2022. And then I have some very exciting stuff coming in the new year that I cannot wait to announce. That'll be the first week of January. I'll be doing a live announcement on my Instagram page and let you guys know some pretty cool stuff. Oh, I lost sound.
I hit the button. What is your Instagram page? What is your website? How do people get your music? How to get the Hella High Water, which we're going to close out with, folks. So you're going to get a taste of it. It's really good party music. This is great for the season. But how do people get your music? How
So
do they find you?
my music's available on all streaming platforms, and it's actually being played on the radio a lot too. So you can call your local radio station and request the song. If they haven't got it, they can contact me to get it. But those requests really help to bring it on their radar. So my social media handles are all at Kate Boytek. That's spelled KateBoytek. And my website is kateboytekofficial.com. That lists all my where you can find my music, download my music, my merch, my tour dates. Literally, it's a one-stop shop on my
Right.
website. But yeah, if you guys want to follow me on my social medias, I'd greatly appreciate it. And I love connecting with you all, so wonderful.
And the Hella High Water is available right now, and of course, as I said, we're going to close out with it. And this is a perfect one for right now. It's a party song. It's a song that people can really get up to, sing along with, and just have some fun with, right? Because there's times for the ballad when you're feeling more intimate and you want to listen to something, but we're in the party season right now. So, we want to kick our feet up, lift up our spirits, and everybody sing along, and just let our hair down and have fun. So it's a perfect song for right now. So yes, you go to her site, folks, and she's also got the KateBoytekOfficial.com/events and tour, which gives you all the touring on there, the shopping, music, Apple, everything is up there. So please, a supporter, because of the music that she's putting out, because people can't put things out unless you support them, folks. But also really kind of sit back and listen, because she could be singing a song that you need to hear right now. Hell and High Water, good party one, but one of those ballads, maybe just something you're going through at the present moment. And it's just going to be one of those things that's going to connect to you and help you kind of see things from a different angle. Because sometimes that's what we need, someone to shift our perspective and see things from a different angle. And then we don't get so caught up in things. So thank you for sharing here today. I know you're in the car, ready to go to the next thing. And I wish you a very Merry Christmas to you and yours. And thank you so much for sharing your music with us.
Thank you so much. It was an honor to be here, and I really appreciated getting to know you, and I hope everyone enjoys tuning in. And yeah, you guys, I love all of you truly. I send my love to you through every song and every lyric and every podcast, every event. So for you to tune in today and take your time to listen, I'm truly grateful.
And then listen to the music, folks, as we close out. So until next time, remember, it's party time. Get excited, kicking up your feet. Hella high water, and let's have some fun. Until next time, folks, bye for now.
Hey, have no fury like a woman scorned. Ain't true, and the Holy Ghost heard him say, I do. Everything I am, I gave it to that man. Now I've got nothing left to lose. Come here. lights, the burning sun comes raining down. Locusts go flying low and seven trumpets gonna blow. Blood moans gonna rise, stars will fall as the eagle cries. Brimstone and lake of fire, horsemen are gonna rise. Come hell or high water, the rain's gonna fall and the flames gonna burn on the sea.
We hope that you enjoyed the show. Find all of our shows on selfdiscoverymedia.com under podcasts or selfdiscoverymedia/shows. And for all our current shows, go to What's New. We are supported by you, the audience. You'll see a nice big shiny blue button for one-time donations or follow us on Patreon, and you will be able to support us there. We enjoy bringing you such wisdom. And the next show will be up in just a moment.